Hey, everybody, what's up? Threesome podcast number 28. It's Lex and Stacy off to another week of fun and frivolity.
Yes. So much fun.
Yes. We've had fun, bitch.
We have.
Dick. Yeah. There you go.
Take that.
Yeah. I had no choice. So we have been dealing with some weather here, so it's been pretty weird. By the time this rolls around on Monday, it will have been gone, but I had trouble getting in here this morning. It was very icy and snowy and all that stuff. It's not a pussy thing, I've decided, because you equip yourself for your surroundings. And unfortunately, where you are, you get two things, heat and cold.
Yes, very true.
Where in Dallas, you get a wide array of sleet, rain, tornadoes, wind, freezing cold, excruciatingly hot, and they're really not super prepared for any of it. It's like they don't want to spend money on some snow plows or some de-icing equipment when it's really just like 4 or 5 days a year. Know what
right.
I mean?
No, I understand. And that is a tough one.
Yeah.
Because then when it does happen, when all hell breaks loose for those 4 or 5 days, it's like, well, we are just shit out of luck right now.
Yeah. So we're not bitching and complaining. We just realize that our roads aren't going to be attended to like a big northeastern city would be or so on and so forth, who has those things out in force before it even happens. You know, and clearing off the main roadways. It just doesn't happen here.
Back a few years ago, my husband and I were living in another town here in Michigan. It's a little tiny, tiny town. And we actually had like a real blizzard, not just like bad snow. It was an actual, you know, the forecast
sure.
called it a blizzard. And the next day, you know, he was spending like a stupid amount of time trying to snowblow out the driveway. And the little town, we were just like a mile from it, if that. And they literally had not even like a big tractor, like a mid-sized, smaller tractor with
right.
a plow on it, and then like a trailer. But they had no place to put the snow. And we were watching, and it was the sweetest thing. All of a sudden, because it's very, very rural, just even a mile out of town. And all of a sudden, all of these tractors started coming down the road, and it was all the old farmers in all their various size tractors. Some of them were huge and some of them were just like a little bit bigger than like a lawnmower tractor,
right.
you know, but they were all going into town, and there had to have been probably 20 tractors that went by within an hour, and they all went into town and they helped clear the streets and stuff. And later in the day, after everything was taken care of, then one by one, the tractors started heading back out of town to go home. And it was like, I love farmers. Farmers rock.
Yeah, farmers in rural areas rock. The ones they have here are dicks.
The big rich
like
ranchers.
Rancher corporate dickhead farmers that call themselves
right.
farmers, but they're really not. Yeah, when you put 200 Mexicans to work, you know, doing all your shit for you, you're not a farmer. Sorry.
I agree with you on that. You have to be able to go out and slop through some poop
yeah.
to call yourself a farmer.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, Lisa's mom and dad, they're farmers. They do all the shit themselves. They wake up at 4 o'clock, feed the animals, clean the pens, you know, tend to everything. Those to me are farmers.
Right. And those are the really good people that will put their, you know, equipment that they've spent a lot of money on. You know, those combines cost like $250,000 and you use them twice a year, you
yeah.
know, they will put their machinery, you know, in danger to help another person out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very sweet. Very cool.
Yeah. It's what this country was built on. Everybody
yeah.
helping everybody. We're not like that anymore.
Actually, back a few years ago, I was driving down a very rural road, and there was one of the big, big, big tractors, and I was coming up behind it, and he was going even slower than what they normally go.
Yeah.
Like, he was just almost idling along, and I'm like, looking, kind of getting over, and I'm thinking, okay, there's no cars. I don't know what he's doing. So I just swung out carefully to pass him, and it was, oh, my God, like, the sweetest thing. There were three ducks in front of him waddling down the road, and they wouldn't get out of the way. And he is in this like huge machine that already covers, like, he's off on the shoulder, you know, and already is like out halfway in the road and everything. He can't get around them. And so he's just very slowly going down the road, waiting for the ducks to decide to veer off into the ditch so he can keep going.
Yeah. See, that's cool stuff.
I gave him the biggest smile. It was like, you are the wind beneath my wings today, Mr. Farmer Man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how you can not embrace something like that? Like, where I live in this apartment complex, keep in mind, this is like a city. If you saw a picture of this, you'd be like, okay, this apartment complex is in the city.
Okay.
But we have this park that's got this stream running through it, and there happens to be a beaver that lives there.
Awesome.
And I've got him on video. I'll show it to you sometime, but I have him on video. He's even walked alongside of me while I walked the dogs before. If you go out there at the right time at dawn or dusk, that's when he comes out of the water, and that's when he seems to walk the property.
Nice.
Know, for some reason. So he just walks beside you like you're not even there, but he doesn't run. He doesn't get scared. The dogs will even kind of go over to see what he's about, and he just keeps walking the same straight line.
I think they're kind of blind. Muskrats are kind of the same way.
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever it is, it's just really cool. I can't get enough of it. I'm just like, wow, this is something you don't see every day. This is badass. Right. You know, and you wouldn't believe what I saw one day. I went down there one evening to walk my dogs, and there were two kids throwing rocks at him.
Oh, did you slap them? God, I hate people.
And I went over and I said, why are you doing that? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, do you know how cool it is that thing is here?
Yeah.
I said that should not be here. This is not a great environment for him. So why are you making it worse?
And just
I said it's cool. I said I like seeing him here. It makes me feel good he's here. So don't run him off.
Right. No, hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not bother, I know.
And then I kind of lied to them. I said, do you know how fast they are and how vicious they are?
Can you see its teeth?
He's like, really? I'm like, yep. I said,
they lull you into a false sense of security.
I said, it eats trees. Can you do that? It eats trees with its mouth, dude. Do you want your arm stuck in there? I wouldn't. I said, don't throw stuff at him. You know, he's just trying to hang out and exist. Not cool.
You know, I'm trying to think back to when I was a shitty kid. Because, yes, kids are shitty, and I understand that kids do things that does not necessarily mean that's how they're going to be when they're adults.
Yeah,
I get that. But I honestly do not remember ever throwing rocks at any critter.
No, ever.
You know, in fact, I know that, like, my dad would go out, you know, and do the mole trap thing because there's moles in the yard and stuff. And he would get a live one, and I would be like, please don't kill it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine just throwing.
I remember getting rabbits, like, in our garden and stuff, and I'd throw, like, a tennis ball to get them to leave. That's about it.
But you weren't probably throwing it right at there, hoping beam them in the head.
No, I'm just throwing it into a, you know, 12 by 12 patch, you know.
Right. You roll it past them so it startles them, yeah, and they take off.
Yeah, or just go, ah, you know, or whatever. But it's like, I never wanted to hurt any animals.
Right.
And if you hurt them, you better eat them. You better use them for consumption. You better not waste them.
I agree.
Yeah.
You are preaching to the choir with that one.
Yeah.
It never. I there are always around here every few years a story where like the DNR finds a spot in the woods and they find like 12 deer bodies, which they've been clearly been poached. And all that's missing is their head because they were taking them for trophies or whatever. And yeah. It's like, that's, give them to people. You know, there are food pantries here that will take deer. Mm-hmm. If you catch a deer, you know, hit a deer in hunting season and don't want it, you can donate it. And there are processing places here that will do it for free and then give the meat back to the food pantry so that people can go in and get a venison steak to feed to their families. You know, don't waste something that you kill. Have a little respect for the life that you take, please.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Whoever kills me better eat me. That's what I say.
Terry.
Because I'm tasty.
Are you?
I am.
I read that about you at a rest stop in Georgia.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, it was me that wrote it, but it's still true. But anyway, we digress as usual.
Yes.
Which
always.
Means it's usually time to move on to some other subject matter. So did you take in the whole Netanyahu speech and all of its emotion that went with it, no matter what side you were on?
Didn't see a thing, and I have avoided all news stories about it. How's that for putting my head in the sand?
That's good. That's good. I ended up on a Facebook post from a Jewish gentleman who attended it. And he said it was life-changing and inspiring. And he was sitting next to Senator Joe Lieberman, who said, hey, you know, you shook his hand and said, you just got to see history and stuff like that. And I got sad.
Why?
Because there's an election in Israel in 2 weeks. And I can't get past the fact that I don't know if he would have run over Obama to come do this at Congress's request if there was an election in 2 weeks.
Right.
Because you just don't do that to the president of a country that's been protecting yours for the last 50 years.
So what happened, I guess? I mean, as I said, I'm aware of the news stories. I've been avoiding them because I just don't care anymore. I don't.
Normally, when a Jewish prime minister or somebody of equal caliber comes to the UN, it's at the president's request.
Okay.
Or invitation, or the White House invitation. And Congress just doesn't involve themselves in such things as far as inviting people here. You and I both know why it was done.
Yes.
And, you know, Netanyahu knows why it was done. But he, in my opinion, put his needs above Obama's. It was okay for him to embarrass Obama.
Well, I guess because I don't know how was it embarrassing? Tell me, I guess, both sides of whatever happened.
Because the president was left out of the mix on the invitation. The White House did not invite him to come here.
Okay.
Boehner did.
So it was a ceremonial thing, I guess.
It's just out of protocol. It's never happened before. And because there's wrinkles going on with the negotiations with Iran, this was just a really bad time for him to come here and basically run over the president and run over Iran and so on and so forth, all because Obama's trying to negotiate some sort of deal with them when it comes to nuclear productivity.
Right.
So
I really, hate politics.
Really, what's going on right here, you know, with Obama's, they're just pissed that he's just talking to Iran, period.
Right.
He may be staring them in the face and going, no, we don't want you to have this, and we don't want you to have that, and we don't want you to have that, but he is engaging in discussions with them, and Israel doesn't like it. You know, because, you know, Israel doesn't negotiate with anybody. They just break bad, which I respect in many, many ways.
And I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't get shit because I'm not saying it in a pro-Israeli form, but as someone who sometimes uses news as a form of entertainment, when Israel decides to open up a can of whoop-ass, there are few other countries in the world that knows how to properly open up a can of whoop-ass.
No, they are very efficient and very well-trained and know exactly what they're kind of jugular they're going for when they go for it. But at the same time, you when you requisition the United States protection, you just can't go rogue when you feel like it.
Well, I guess you can technically, but that is when, you know, you start expecting that the protection's not there anymore. You know.
Well, I found it very disrespectful.
And I understand that. I mean,
I found it very full of agenda.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, no one on any side can't say that that was not agenda driven.
Yeah. And the loser in that agenda was the president, who, you know, came out of it looking alone and weakened. You know, by somebody that he's had their complete back since he's been in office, and so have his four predecessors.
Well, I guess the big question here is, what would Frank Underwood do?
Oh, well, Frank Underwood would be banging Boehner's wife somewhere.
And his son.
Yeah. Yeah. Frank Underwood would be, you know, fucking his son in the ass, taking a photo of it of just his dick going in the ass, and then putting out Boehner's son as gay posters all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what Frank Underwood would do.
That's how I try to live my life these days.
Mm-hmm.
I ask myself, what would Frank Underwood do?
Oh, we play a thing on the show called Judge Lex.
Really?
Yeah. And like, for example, this morning, Ian reads a story about the Boston Marathon bomber and how his lawyer pled guilty, hoping for not death penalty, but some sort of life sentence or whatever the case is. Hmm. And I said, you guys want to know what Judge Lex would do?
Does it involve anyone's five-year-old child?
No. I like getting creative, like having my punishments have something to do with their crimes.
Right.
So tell me what you think of this. I tie him to stop signs on both sides of the street at the finish line of the Boston Marathon this year, and everybody gets to run over him as they finish.
They're wearing cleats.
All whatever they want. You know, they may want some cleats for their last mile to have a faster mile, whatever the case is. I'm totally cool with that. But you know, how many people are in the marathon? 5,000-6,000? I think that would be the way to handle that right there.
Yeah.
Since you wanted to blow up the finish line at the Boston Marathon, how about you be the finish line at the Boston Marathon?
And every participant who finishes gets exactly one whack at you. Whether it's, you know, that step in the groin.
Well, you know how it is when you cross the finish line, you kind of jump and throw that foot down.
That you stick it. You just stick.
Yeah,
last
like,
one.
Like stick it. Like, yeah, I'm across. that's what I think it should be. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, I think you should start a letter campaign.
Or, if- or here's my other one. You know that right before the last mile of it, they turn that big corner and go down the last street? I think you just tie them to a you know, street pole on the corner, and everybody just takes a whack as they go by, just poof, 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 poof. How about that?
I think that would be fun, and I think it would encourage a lot more people to participate and finish.
I think it's pretty cool, I gotta say. You know, so I was very proud of that one.
You should be.
Yeah, you
I'm proud of you for having that thought.
You give me any crime that you can think of, and I'll give you my amazing punishment for it.
Hitler, had he lived.
Oh, limitless. Limitless. But here's what I'd come up with. I'd roll out the world's largest piece of dough and push him in it and shove him in the oven. And I would drizzle the top of it with tomato sauce in the form of a swastika.
Nice.
And you wouldn't believe where the sausage would go.
That's good Nazi pizza.
Mm-hmm. That's right, a Nazi pizza.
Technically, it would be more calzone if he's wrapped up in it. But,
no, not
you know.
Wrapped up. He'd just be laying face down in it. You know, a
gotcha.
big round disc of dough. And, of course, into the oven he goes, because that's okay to him, from what I understand, to put people in the oven.
Right.
From what I understand, he was totally cool with that, so he should be able to go in himself, right?
That and lining people up so who are all the same height, so they only had to use one bullet. They could just see how many, like, firing one shot, how many heads it would go through, so they would conserve bullets.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a thing, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could do that, too, before we even throw them on the pizza.
I say take off a finger, you know, a bullet per finger. Just close range. Stick your hand out.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
shoot off each digit.
There's so many possibilities for him. It's almost not fun, you know. It's more fun with people with just like one crime.
Well, yeah, because there are the people who are like, you know, well, I go up and I just beat the crap out of him. And it's like, no. You have to get creative with this. You have to put on your thinking cap, and you have to do this with an artistic flair. You have to make a statement as it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my all-time favorite scene from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
When Mr. Blonde is dancing to Jerry Rafferty and torturing the cop, I could watch that scene over and over
it's
again
a great
because
scene.
He has panache.
Mr. Blonde knew how to get rid of people. It's a great fucking movie.
I love that scene. Yeah, whenever I hear that song, I get all happy.
Well, yeah, I know. Let's think though. Let's think of somebody who did something just heinous. You know, that you could just torture to death.
You know, it would probably not be someone famous. It would be one of those like just awful, awful, gross men who have somehow gotten away with molesting all the kids in the trailer park for the last 30 years. That, you know, just kind of flies under the radar.
Oh, I got a good one for that. You know, for child molesters. You just take all the kids that have been molested, and once they grow up, you just find the one with a just gargantuan penis. You know one of them has one. You know one of them just grew up just gifted as can be. And you say, how would you like to get back at the people that did those things to you? And they, of course, would say, how can I help? We want you to take your incredibly huge 50-pound, 2-foot-long penis
Tell me more.
And shove it in those old rat bastards' asses so they can feel like a six-year-old with a big dick in them.
See, I wouldn't actually force have them do that. I would find out anyone who wanted to be part of this, that, you know, had been molested, if they want to, I guess, show their penis for science so you can get an idea of who the biggest is, and then craft a very hard, rigid penis that's much bigger than the biggest one. And then you can have different people doing things with the penis. So the poor kid isn't having to, or adult male at this point, having to relive anything.
Oh, relive it? That's his revenge. Are you kidding me?
I know, but someone might not, you know, necessarily.
I mean, you got to vet them out first. You got to say, yeah, this is what we have in mind. Would that be traumatic for you or therapeutic?
Well, I guess question for you. If you at any point had been touched in your boy parts, would you be turning around if you had the chance now and fucking the perpetrator in the ass with your giant penis?
If the perpetrator didn't want it like I did, yeah.
Really?
Fuck you, asshole. Literally. But hey, if you want to make a carbon copy of my penis and I just shove it in there with a hammer or something, that's fine too. I don't care.
But see, that at that point, that would allow, for instance, the moms to be able to get in on the action. If your child has been molested, I'm sure there's a lot of women who would love to, you know, have their turn at making Mr. Molester feel a little less comfortable when he sits down.
Yeah, or either that or make him eat nursing home pussy.
Which could still be very vibrant, Lex, so let's not assume that that's a bad thing.
No, let's assume that.
We had that conversation last podcast about Colin Farrell and Liz Taylor.
Yeah, but Liz Taylor was like in her 70s. I'm talking about, you know, 90-year-olds. You know, where you even touch them, they can fall apart.
It crumbles.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, because you know what? There would be the sick pervert who would love that. You know there would be.
Yeah.
Because if, I don't know.
Yeah, All right. How about this? You'll like this. You take him into prison.
And okay, I like it so far.
You take him into the prison yard. And you go, hey, everybody, this is a child molester. You hear him? They go, I'm just kidding. This guy fucked your mother.
Not just fucked her, but raped her.
And stole all her money. Yes.
And killed your dog.
Yeah. There's that.
Put a big scarlet C on his little prison jumpsuit so everyone knows he touches little kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just make him wear an orange jumpsuit that says, I'm in here because I touch little kids all the time.
I diddle little boys.
And anybody that's in a gang, go fuck yourself. Yeah, he'll make it through the day.
Or just, you know, have different various racial slurs on it. So he's hitting all the different, you know, different populations. Yeah. So you hate such and such, you know.
Yeah. I heart circle slash on the heart and then have just a swastika, a Bloods, a Crips, a Hell's Angels.
Exactly.
Whatever the names of the Mexican gangs are. Yeah, it should pretty much cover it all. You know. And then at the bottom, it's like, at the bottom, you know, for the white supremacists, it's like, I heart black people.
Yes. Know. It's full of all kinds of contradictions all over us, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Die N-word on the front and I love N-word on the back. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think you missed your calling, Lex. I really do. Screw radio. You need to be making people miserable.
I should be the punishment czar. I should.
Yes.
You know.
The punisher.
Yeah.
Too bad Thomas and Jane beat you to it, but.
Even like the white collar stuff. You know, I could do amazing things to those, you know, like Bernie Madoff.
Yes.
I could come up with some twisted shit for somebody like that.
Look, here's a video of me having sex with your wife in the boat that we bought with the money that you had squirreled away in some Swiss account that you didn't think anyone knew about.
Exactly. Or give his $200,000 Lamborghini to a homeless dude.
Yes.
Just let him live in it for a year. Send him a video each day. You know, a video each day. It's like dropping the keys in the guy's hand. It's like, it's all yours, Hector.
Yes.
Courtesy of Bernie Madoff. See him speed off down the street in it. Next day you're at his
like in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
When they handed the keys over to that valet.
Next day it's a video at his loft in, you know, Midtown. Where'd you sleep last night? In a box, you know, over in the subway. Yeah, well, you don't have to do that anymore. Here. And by the way, we're going to pay the taxes on this, you know, out of the Madoff fund.
Here's Hector taking his first bath in 3 weeks in your tub.
And then day three, you see Bernie's son heading off to Princeton, you know, that he got his college education with all of his bad money. And day three, you like pull him out of the car and go, yeah, look, you don't have any money anymore. You're not going to Princeton. Your daddy is a criminal, and you have no money. Get out.
Is that... I don't know if I completely agree with that. I know where you're going with that, but, I mean, if you did something, would you want Samantha to be punished for it? Would you?
Ah, fuck him.
No, I agree, but, you know... It's not necessarily the family's fault.
What hurts more than to see on video that you ultimately used other people's money and stepped on other people to fund your son's education? And to see him just pulled out of a car and told that your dad is a piece of shit. And you're not going to college, and you know you can't keep your car, you can't keep your clothes, you can't keep anything because your dad is an asshole. You shouldn't have all this stuff. You were never supposed to have all this stuff. Therefore, you don't have any stuff.
I agree with you. If the money, you know, was the bad money, and you know,
yeah.
But I would hope now. Doesn't that
now since
when you are convicted of a crime?
Since your dad was a douchebag, we did set you up with a student loan, and you can choose to sign this piece of paper and go off to school like you were about to. But you will be paying every cent of this back. Agreed. Good. Yes. Okay. Goodbye.
Good luck going out into the workforce with your $300,000 in student loans.
Yeah. The good news is you get a Columbia education. The bad news is daddy ain't paying for it.
No.
You are. Now get good grades.
Or mommy's new husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who'd want anything to do with that?
I bet you'd be surprised. I don't know, though. Did you see where Sydney Leathers, Anthony Weiner's texting buddy, She went to page six. She has been involved. Now, she says she's never met them personally, but she has been in a texting relationship with a state representative from somewhere in the Midwest who is a Democrat. She hasn't said the name yet, but she says that they've been texting and he wants to be financially dominated. And so he buys her all kinds of stuff, you know, like off Amazon and things. And he had been very careful, except somehow in one of the shipments that was sent to her, his name, I don't know if like on the receipt or, you know, credit, I don't know, but somehow she got his name. And so she knows who this person is. And she is threatening to go public with it. And I half think that this is like also part of like a blackmail fantasy kind of thing. If he wants to be financially dommed, it would make sense that he would want to be blackmailed too.
Yeah, I would imagine. What kind of fucked up leaders are these people that want to be dominated? I want to be a leader, and part of that is I tell you what to do.
I agree. I'm kind of on the fence with it. I would like to think in a perfect world, you know, that people can have very normal, real lives, for lack of a better word. You know, you can go and you can be productive and get the job done, whatever your job is. And when you go home at night, if you want to put on a diaper and have some woman hold you like a baby, that shouldn't affect your job performance.
I don't like the fact that you could be at the negotiating table with Putin and he can throw some fucking bitch who wants to dom you in front of you and your whole negotiation falls apart. Yes.
Well, I know. I completely understand what you're saying. And I guess, you know, hopefully the victim, the person in question, would be strong enough to say not now.
I want my president to be just a real dickhead like Nixon, you know, somebody like that. It's like, is that all you got?
For all we know, though, Nixon was being made to, you know, wash dishes in a tutu somewhere.
Nixon wasn't made to do anything, a twisted fuck. God, I miss him. I really do. That to me, he was the epitome of what a U.S. president should be. I'm sorry, but a know what he wants type of guy, a little bit underhanded measures to get it, and pretty much the rest of the world like, yeah, I think we'll wait 3 years before we fuck with these people. I don't want anything to do with this guy. He's just a little off center. He looks like he'll push the button just for giggles.
No, see, going back to, like, if my issue actually is not so much if someone wants to be dominated and they can maintain and not be dominated at work or on the Senate floor or whatever, great. But the thing is, if they're stupid and have to do this and have the compulsion to do it and put themselves career-wise in danger of someone getting pictures or someone being able to blackmail them that way.
See,
I don't respect
people that get caught doing that. That's to me, that's like, God, you're incompetent. You're incompetent at your own fucking personal life. You want to run ours? Fuck
exactly.
That.
You know, I my big issue with Clinton with the whole Monica Lewinsky thing was not that he got a blowjob, and who really cares, but it's once you get to that level, you know, arguably one of the most important jobs in the world, being the president of the United States, can you maybe hold off on the recreational strange blowjob for 8 years? Because you're going to get it all you want after you're out of office.
Yeah, but you're like in your 60s when you're out of office, you know? It's like you're good. 8 good blowjob years have gone by. You're not going to get a good one from Hillary. You know?
Don't know.
Oh, please.
You don't know. She might have no gag reflex.
Yeah, because she won't put a dick in her mouth.
I bet she knows her way around a penis.
Who knows? We know she did at least once.
Exactly.
But I, I think she has an understanding about Bill and his insatiable need for female attention.
I agree. As I've gotten older and I've come to understand that stuff a little more.
Yeah.
You know, like when you look at the Kennedys, I would have to think if you are a female and you are marrying into the Kennedy family, you deserve everything if you get, if you didn't think that your Kennedy man is not going to cheat on you. And if he doesn't, then great. Bonus for you. Congratulations. Yeah. But I would have to think if I were hooking up with a Kennedy, I have to just assume he's not going to be faithful to me. But I should not take it personally. You know what I mean? It's just what they do.
Yeah, and I'm sure she was no choir girl either when she knew the lay of the land.
Who are you talking about?
Jackie Kennedy.
Well, yeah, didn't she? I mean, she allegedly with Bobby and Frank Sinatra. I mean, she had her own little list of men that she bedded.
Yeah, I mean,
and good for her.
Yeah, I mean, those two just had it right.
I think once you get to that, like, you know, a national level, when you're in the spotlight like that, I think probably, for instance, what Hillary was so pissed at Bill about was that he got caught, that something so stupid is what tarnished, you know.
I think she was pissed that it wasn't a woman of stature is what I think she was pissed at.
Perhaps.
That, you know, if you're going to get caught with somebody, get caught with somebody. You know?
Probably exactly how, no, like you Liz know? Hurley felt when she found out that Hugh Grant had gotten like a really, really cheap whore for a blowjob, you know, in what, North Hollywood or wherever it was.
You know,
she's Elizabeth fucking Hurley. Come on. You can't, I know, I felt so bad for her. You know, that knocked her down many notches.
Yeah, it's like get caught with Shania Twain or Faith Hill or somebody, you know. Get caught with somebody who's got some game. Not some not some pudgy page that walks the fucking White House a few hours a week.
Or some gross whore named Divine.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah.
It's like, oh, Hugh, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
It was Liz Hurley, my God.
How do you fuck around on Elizabeth Hurley? Who at the time was the most beautiful woman on the planet by far.
All you have to do, it's not a good movie, but watch Bedazzled. She has a different leather outfit on in literally every scene.
Uh-huh.
If you want to gaze upon a body that the gods placed upon this earth, that would be Elizabeth Hurley in that movie.
And a face. Yeah.
Yeah, I think her body was much better than her face.
And the Austin Powers movies, oh my God.
Yeah. See, now I think Heather Graham in the second one was just flawless.
Yeah,
I thought she was actually prettier than Liz Hurley.
Yeah, I like brunettes, so that's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Me too. I prefer my men with dark hair.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know why that is, because there's, by all means, some blonde women that just send me reeling, but as far as every day, day in, day out, I just love brunettes. I don't know what it is. It's they drive me crazy.
Yeah, pretty much any man that I've ever had like a relationship with, at some point it's come out that they really prefer brunettes. And it's like, God, another one.
Well,
and I'm probably the only natural blonde you're ever going to meet, you know?
I think we prefer what we don't have when we're in a relationship with somebody. It's kind of weird, you know? Because, you know, now that I'm in a relationship with a brunette, I find myself looking at blondes again. You know, it's just weird like that. Yeah, it's just weird like that.
You're just never happy with what you have.
No, I'm very happy with what I have. I'd never do anything to jeopardize it. But it's, you know, it's nothing I don't tell her either. That's the great thing about this relationship. I can look at a chick and go, God, she's fucking awesome. And she's like, yeah, she is. You know, it's so cool.
Right.
But I don't do it a lot, you know. I don't like to make her think I'm looking at every skank on the planet, because I'm not. But Every once in a while.
Oh, you are.
Every once in a while, you just see one and you just, you can't help yourself. And she's like, hey, Mr. Obvious. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Get your nose out of her ass.
But, you know.
We're in line.
Listen, you know, she's got her Channing Tatum, you know, whatever the other guy's name is on Magic Mike and the Adam Levine. And, you know, it's like. Mm-hmm.
See, I find him very attractive, but he's such a skank. He is a gross man. He is just a walking STD. You know he is.
Who, Adam Levine?
Yes. I think he is the biggest man whore in Hollywood, and that says a lot.
No, he's not. He's been with the same chick for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, you need to look Adam Levine up. He has such a reputation. Maybe he's straightened up in the last couple of years, but I think he has been more productive than Colin Farrell.
Wow.
I mean, he's up there with just a whore.
Well, I don't blame him if he is.
Well, no, I understand, but that does kind of knock him down a couple. Like, it's like, it would be lovely if he flirted with me so I could be like, hee hee hee, but I probably would not go there.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to get AIDS from Adam Levine. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do have standards.
Yeah. That's kind of awesome. It's like, oh, you have AIDS, you poor thing. Not really. I got it from Adam Levine.
Look at me. Hee hee hee.
I got AIDS.
I'm the luckiest girl ever.
I got AIDS from somebody of stature.
Exactly. They're status AIDS.
Stades is what we call them.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, you know, if I were Adam Levine, I would be a man whore.
No, he has every right to, and he's hot as all fuck, but there does get to a point where, you know, you just know that he's taken some antibiotics in his life.
Yeah.
More than once. More than one round.
I just look at Lisa when he's on TV and I just look over and go, I'm so sorry. I don't look like that.
And she's like, shut up.
She's like, it's like,
I'm trying to listen.
She's like, it's okay.
But we are going to play Maroon 5 night later tonight,
yeah,
honey.
She's like, it's okay. She goes, it's okay. Not everybody can look like him. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for that.
You get the little condescending pat on your head. Uh-huh. It's okay, baby. But she's not even looking at you.
Yeah.
Just staring at the TV.
Yeah. It's okay, Adam. Lex. It's like, yeah, okay. Although I've been guilty of the same thing. There's this girl on. You ever seen Chicago PD?
No.
It's a show on NBC on Wednesday nights. And the girl in this show is so fucking hot. I can't take my eyes off of her. She's not brunette or blonde. She's kind of in between. And she is just...
Who is it? Do you know?
Sophia Bush is her name.
Okay. I think I know who that is. Yes.
Oh, my God. And she plays this cop that's kind of, you know, she's not dramatic. You know, she's just kind of cool with the dudes and everything. You know, she can just hang. So,
right.
So her character definitely helps her cause, which it doesn't even need. You know, she could be a psycho whore and I wouldn't care. That's how hot she is.
I understand.
Yeah. But the fact that she's just kind of a badass on top of it, oh my God. I you know, Lisa will walk in the room and talk to me and she's like, did you hear what I just said? And I said, Chicago PD's on, and she'll tell you. She'll just go, oh. I see.
See, I felt that way. Do you remember Chicago Code? It was only one season.
Mm-mm, never saw it.
It was back a few years ago, and Jason Clark was the main character, and he was a a cop, and Wazaki was his name. And, oh, I developed such an unholy love for him. He's not even, I would call him a good-looking man, but, oh, he's just, I am a huge fan.
I'll look him up. Is it Clark with an E or just Clark?
I think with an E.
Okay, let's see here. Yeah, IMDb. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yes. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah, he played a bad guy in the that White House movie where the White House got taken over.
Yes.
And Channing Tatum was like a Secret Service agent or something.
Right. And it was what that, Gerard
White
Butler.
White House Down or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie? I think it's called Lawless. It's with Tom Hardy, Jason Clarke, and Shia LaBeouf.
I think I have for like a passerby, like on HBO or Showtime.
You really should dedicate your full attention to it. Even with Shia LaBeouf in it, it's still just fantastic.
Shia LaBeouf.
What a dick.
Everybody makes jokes about Shia LaBeouf.
But there's this scene because Tom Hardy's character, they're three brothers, and it's like during Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this scene where the city people have come in and they're going to try to strong arm the rednecks who are the ones that are making the booze, which are these three brothers. And Tom Hardy is just sitting there and in this front porch in this chair. And they're kind of, he's just always, you know, emotionless. You know, you would love him, Lex. It's just like, oh, Tom Hardy. And he's just, you know, sitting there talking to him in that Tom Hardy voice.
Yeah, and Bane. And he's Bane, man.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And what they don't know is that Jason Clarke, Howard, the brother, is in the house. And he's the scary one.
Yeah.
And they make some threat to Tom Hardy. And from way inside the house, you can hear, rah, like just kind of like fuck you or something like that, and you hear boop 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 footsteps running through the house. Someone's coming, and they're getting closer and louder. And Tom Hardy goes, "Have you met Howard?" And he comes flying out of the house and just proceeds to beat the shit out of these guys. But you can hear him coming for like 20 seconds before he actually arrives. It's just like, oh, so that's kind of like a line that I like. Have you met Howard?
So he really talks like that.
Yes, that's his voice.
Because the only thing I've really seen him in is Batman, and he was so good in it.
He was in a Star Trek movie. He was young, so he's skinny. Like, you almost would never know that that was him. You should look him up, because you'll go, oh. It was one of the Jason Patrick movies, I think.
Oh, God.
Not like, yeah. But, yeah, he was young and skinny. Very different than what he is now.
Whatever happened to Jason Patrick? He was like the end all of heartthrobs and then just disappeared.
I don't know.
Remember that movie Rush he was in that had Greg Allman in it? And Greg Allman was the drug dealer.
I don't think
and,
I saw that.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh was his girlfriend. Was Jason Patrick's girlfriend. And she was like a cop, and she had to become a junkie to like go undercover and stuff like that. And so did he. And they ended up becoming junkies, but they were cops.
Who was the Terminator? Jason, what was his name?
Which one? Which you mean?
The one liquid one.
That's the guy that's on Scorpion now.
But his name's similar to Jason Stewart.
What is that guy's name?
Like Jason Patrick or
Jason
something
Patrick,
like that.
Jason Patrick, yes.
Okay, yes. See, yeah. I always get those confused.
Yeah.
And so that's who I was actually thinking of. And I'm like, well, I don't think he was really a heartthrob, but maybe if he gets you going.
Have you seen this boy?
Have you seen the previews for the Terminator Genisys?
Yeah.
They've got all of them in there. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And I think Jason Clarke is going to be in there. I would look it up, but I don't want to screw up my internet because it's working so well right now.
No, do not.
No.
God, those few months sucked.
Yeah. But definitely check out Lawless.
Will
do. And True Romance. You never watched True Romance, did you?
I still have not watched True Romance.
Oh, you should. In fact, watch that one before Lawless. Please, let that be your homework this weekend. Please, I want to talk to you about that movie.
All right. I'll watch it.
It will make you very happy.
Okay. I'll watch it.
It's a Tarantino film. I think he wrote it. He had nothing else to do with it. He didn't direct it or anything. But there's so much Tarantino in it.
Is it as good as Inglourious Basterds?
It's different, but it is still awesome.
Have we ever talked about Inglourious Basterds?
We've talked about Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, so we did talk about the first 15 minutes of Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, yeah. God.
One of the greatest scenes ever.
No, see, no, I agree with you, but if you've not seen True Romance, I want to get your impression of Dennis Hopper and his ultimate insult to Christopher Walken in True Romance. It is the most amazing thing. He knows he's going to die, and he just lets it go. You've got to watch it, Lex. It makes me happy.
I love Dennis Hopper.
I did, too. Yeah. I wish I could have met him.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet. So fucked up.
Him and Dean Stockwell?
Yeah. Such a fucked up movie, man. He's just got that fucking mask to his face all the time. You know, watching people fucking do it through the closet and shit. Just so fucking weird. So, all right. So, Stacy, we heard our little alarm there. That means we are running out of time. And
yes,
I appreciate you as always. Great Legend Cast. Listen to me.
Threesome podcast.
Great threesome podcast.
No music on this one.
Mm-mm. And although I do want you to do a Legend Cast with me at some point.
I think that would be fun.
I want to hear what makes you tick these days. I will tell you this. The other day I was... I'm experimenting with... I do use Spotify, but I decided I'm going to try Beats.
Okay.
Beats music. And
yeah,
I found Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs.
Really?
On there. So the whole album's great. The whole album's just full of great songs. So I downloaded that. I've been digging on that lately. It's such a great fucking album.
See, I always associate that with, what is it, Cliffs of Dover. There's that one. Those songs all kind of, I don't know why.
Eric Johnson?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That Eric Johnson album was so weird because I had to work that when I lived in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it was like the album that would not go away. There was only
really?
There was only like 75, 80 stations playing it at a time and about four or five different songs on it. You know, but it never, ever, ever got, you know, more than a couple hundred stations playing it. Like stuff wouldn't fade off. Stuff that usually stuck around always had anywhere from 180 to 250 stations playing it. But this had like a constant 75 stations playing a song off of it at a time because it was instrumental.
Right.
You know, and I swear to God, my whole 3 years in Los Angeles, I worked that record. It's like it wouldn't go away.
Like, please.
Yeah.
It's like Dark Side of the Moon. All right, people.
Oh, I hated it. It's like, this isn't even that good, people. But I had to act like it was because we're trying to get people to play record, you know.
Because you were a schmoozer.
In the meantime, you know, some of the stuff I really thought deserved airplay and really loved, I couldn't get people to hear, you know. It just drove me nuts.
Arr.
So... anyway, that wraps us up for this week. I want to thank Drew Hillis and the staff at DBC for making LT2 possible. And, of course, Legend Cast is musically licensed, so the only place you can hear that is on LT2. But we aren't. This is able to be downloaded as a podcast. So
iTunes and the website.
So you need to like our Facebook page, for one thing.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter at Threesome Podcast. That's the number 3 some podcast.
S-O-M-E.
Yes. Like, wow, that's some podcast, that 3. Just like that.
You can go to the website, threesomepodcast.com, and up at the top left is like a link to all of our social media. So whatever you use, you can like us or follow us there.
Yeah, and we'll be happy to keep you updated on stuff. And but most importantly, you go to threesomepodcast.com. You can download the latest episodes as a podcast and listen to them at will if you decide to do so. And there you go. You're informed. We'll see you for number 29 next week, right?
Yes. This was 28.
This is 28. So we'll see you for number 29. We're nearing that 30 mark, which is unbelievable.
Woo, woo, woo.
And you have yourselves a great week. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.